Welcome back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And it's our honor today to have Ann Willen, one of Cindy and my heroes, who is, the first cookbook that I saw that I was excited about that you wrote was Great Cooks and Their Recipes, which came out, I think, when I was in high school, and French Regional Cooking not long after that, and La Vraie Pratique, which was a fabulous book that I know both of us utilized learning a lot about food in the 80s. And anyway, welcome to the program, Ann Willen.
Very happy to be with you.
I recently started to read One Soufflé at a Time, and I just can't thank you enough for writing this book, because your story is, I have so much respect for you, and your story is just absolutely amazing. And the book is such an, your life has been such an incredible journey.
Well, it was one adventure after another in many ways, and I've enjoyed almost every minute of it. Very lucky.
I think it's amazing that as an English lady, you decided to open a French cooking school in Paris in the 1970s. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it was certainly one of the big adventures. I'd been at cooking school in Paris at the Cordon Bleu 10 years before that, more than that. And I'd always had in my mind that somebody could do better, that it was enormously important when teaching cooking, which I'd been doing on and off for a long time, to communicate the love of cooking, what food is all about, and to draw people into the kitchen. And I felt that the place to learn was France. And that all percolated for a long time. And I talked it over many times with Julia Child, who had the exact same viewpoint. And so gradually, my husband and I got our ducks in a row. And in 1975, we started La Varenne Cooking School in the middle of Paris.
And what an amazing accomplishment that was, not only for an English woman, but the fact that you were a woman. I can imagine you probably had many obstacles.
Well, actually, being a woman was not one of them.
Okay, good.
Being English, I'm sure, was a major one.
I've always found that in France, you're very much accepted as a woman for what you can achieve.
That's okay.
And the food world in particular is quite used to women running the business, running out front with husband in back in the kitchen. Quite often find women in pastry shops, on both sides, in the kitchen and out front. So that was not a problem.
That's good.
There was this, kind of gentle amusement and not taking me seriously because I was an English woman. Mm-hmm. But then when people came round to the school, we invited chefs to come and do visiting classes and that kind of thing. And they realized, particularly the young ones, kind of what we were getting at. They realized we were serious, and we realized that we had the same enthusiasm and love of good food as they did. And after that, they were very happy to come and see us and get to know us, and above all, of course, to get to know the students.
Did you transition La Varenne in Paris to Chateau de Fay, or did you have both schools open at the same time?
We did have them open for about 4 or 5 overlapping years, but the Chateau was always subordinate to the school in Paris until we finally decided it was such a wonderful place. And there were so many things to learn in the French countryside.
Absolutely.
That we would move everything down there.
Can you tell us a little bit about that experience of finding the chateau and that transition for you?
Well, that was another crazy adventure.
I'm sure.
We were looking for a really nice country house, with the emphasis on the word house, sort of weekend place. And we were shown Chateau Dufay, and we looked at it, and we said, well, it's a beautiful place. And then we went round the grounds, and there were 2 acres of walled vegetable garden, and there was a wine press and a walnut press, and it was the most beautiful place. And we said, well, if we were ever to want a place like that, it would be perfect. We fell in love with it. We never regretted it, but it was absolutely not what we'd envisaged. I mean, it's huge. It has kind of 18 bedrooms in the main house. Wow. There's the aforesaid huge great vegetable garden, which had one wonderful old man called Monsieur Milver, who was cultivating about a quarter of it with the most wonderful traditionally grown vegetables and greens, and we planted a whole lot of fruit trees. And then we found the bread oven, which had the chickens living in it.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'd never been into it. And so
wow.
That was about a year after we'd been there. And I saw this semicircular door, and I thought, that looks familiar. And I opened it, and inside it was a bread oven.
Wow, that's amazing.
And that was enormous fun. So then we asked the local baker to come and fire it up. And so then we made bread. Wonderful.
That's fantastic. And did you get to know the winemakers around your chateau? And I'm sure you made all kinds of wonderful friends in that community.
Well, indeed we did. We particularly asked the local chefs to come and do visiting classes. So the chateau is in northern Burgundy, and Burgundy is a wonderful, wonderful place for food.
Absolutely.
And for cooks. Mm-hmm. So there are 2 3-star restaurants within an hour, one within 15 minutes. There were 2 or 3 2-star restaurants, several 1-star restaurants. And so we got to know all the chefs there. Chablis is about 40 minutes away, so we got to know some of the wine growers. And we got to know the neighbors, because it's a rich agricultural area going back hundreds of years. And so there are some nice chateau, and they were extraordinarily welcoming. My husband, Mark, nicknamed them the Chateau Mafia, because they all knew each other, and they all exchanged gossip, and they were intrigued. They were convinced we were American, which we only are, partly.
That's awesome.
And they were very welcoming. It was lovely.
You've had this dream experience. I mean, what a wonderful, wonderful life to be able to live in a place like Burgundy and to open a cooking school in Paris. And I mean, I think you're just an absolutely amazing woman.
You've had a wonderful time.
Very good.
Can I ask you, because I'm the keeper of lists for, if there was one particular chef in that region who was most supportive or helpful or inspirational at the time when you first really got into the Chateau Dufay?
That would be Jean-Michel Gautier, who has a 1-star restaurant in Sens. He was young then. He'd only recently opened. He hadn't earned his star. And his enthusiasm was just amazing. And he still remains a very good friend. And the last time he went to the chateau about 3 months ago with a friend of ours, He was driving up the drive, and she saw tears rolling down his cheeks because he remembered many happy times with lots of students. And, of course, the school there is now closed.
And on my list, sir, we were talking for a moment before we went on the air about a dish that I have a great love for, jambon prussier. Are there one or two regional dishes from Burgundy that maybe were your holy grail dishes to make, to teach, to share, to eat?
Well, one of them certainly, well, one is Boeuf Bourguignon, that's been in the news with the film of Julie and Julia. Another is coq au vin. I mean, it's simple stuff in Burgundy, but you've got to have the right ingredients. And for the Boeuf Bourguignon, you want rather tough, gelatinous, sinewy beef that has lots and lots of flavor, nice, dark, aged meat. And for coq au vin, if you can do it, and even in Burgundy it's quite difficult to find, you need a cock bird. And that has a totally different flavor from chicken, from the female, because it's a cock bird, it's a big male, it runs around the farmyard, and the meat is darker, and it's slightly gamey. It's quite hard work to cut it up because it's full of sinews. And you cook it for a long time, and it's just delicious. You should always use local wine. Doesn't have to be expensive. We used local Irancy wine, which is a quite strong Pinot Noir.
Yeah, Pinot on the road to Champagne.
Exactly.
And regions outside of Burgundy where your favorite dishes come from in France?
Ah, well, we lived in Normandy for a while. And there's some good stuff there in Normandy. Of course, lovely cream.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of apples. Calvados, homemade Calvados. That was one thing that Monsieur Mielbert made in Burgundy. He had cider apples, almost wild they were, funny little things. And he would press the cider every year, and then he took it down to the traveling still, and he had a license to distill, I think it was 20 liters of hard liquor. And my, it was strong.
Yeah, it's those little apples are funny.
And he would always give us a bottle for Christmas, and it would take the roof off your mouth, not say the top off your head.
That sounds great. Can I ask you for one Julia Child story? Because I also just absolutely adored her. And she came to Charleston, one of my restaurants, and I cooked for her one day, and it was really one of the greatest days of my life. If you could share a story that of your experience with her.
Oh, well, lots of Julia stories, but a nice one was she used to come and teach with us at Loverenne at the Greenbrow, which is a great resort with a wonderful kitchen.
Yes.
And this was in one of the periods of everybody should be getting skinnier and skinnier. And so on the menu, they had dishes with a little star that said, you know, heart healthy and low calorie.
Right.
And Julia said, I will have the turbo, she said. And we all sort of looked because it said steamed and, you know, steamed vegetables. And then she said, and with it I will have a little hollandaise.
Very good. That's so great.
Well, it was wonderful to have you on the program. And I think we probably both have about 150 questions for you. that we cannot get to. There's certainly it's very easy to hear the joy for food the joy for the table and communicating that, and the urgency in communicating that from so many years and so many books and so many students. And thank you very, very much for coming
thank
on.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful to hear your stories. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thanks so much for listening to Foreman & Wolff on Food & Wine. Please remember, if you have questions for us, send them via email to foremanandwolff@wypr.org. We have talked about, and we may invite some listeners on to ask the questions live during the program. So please email us questions at foremanandwolff@wypr.org. Thanks again for listening. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolff. You can also follow me on Chef Cindy Wolff at Twitter or on Instagram at Chef Wolff, if you like.
Thanks so much.